You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I need you to go back and read that. Like Bernadette said, go back and read it. Right? And when you read the Sermon on the Mount, you will find that Jesus never talked about healing. Never talked about sickness. He talked about the extension of the kingdom being in your life. That's all he did. All he did was talk about what you do to be cast into hell, what you'll do to get brought before the Sanhedrin Council for judgment. He told you to turn the other cheek. Don't worry about your life. He gave you principles where you are, what you are supposed to put into practice so you can live a kingdom life. Now watch this. He comes down the mountain and a leper came and worshiped him. And he hadn't even mentioned anything about healing. He mentioned the kingdom. And the leper said, wow, if the kingdom says I shouldn't worry about my daily provisions, then there must be something in there for healing. But because this was a new expression, he came up and asked a philosophical question. The King James puts it in this phrase. He said he came and worshiped him, which means he fell on the ground. And he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. But he didn't ask to be made clean. He said, if you want to do it, you can make me clean. If you want to do it. You hear what I'm saying? Where did he draw that conclusion? Jesus never talked about that. He only talked about the kingdom. And this man said, I'm going to take a shot. If he just told me how great the kingdom is and how much God wants to stand by me, I'm going to ask if he's willing to cleanse me. If you want to, you can do it. Listen to Jesus. The Bible said Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, violated the law, touched this man and said, I will. Now, go back to the question. What's the question? If you want to, right? If you want to, what should have been the proper response? I want to. I will is an answer that's generated by the question, can you? Will you? Might you? He says, if you want to, the right answer should have been, I want to. But he doesn't say, I want to. He says, I will. Now, take a moment. Talk amongst yourselves. Smoke them if you got them. What is he saying? When I exposed you to the kingdom, I was exposing you to the will of God. And when you brought your need to me, I am telling you the will of God is that he wills to heal you. He doesn't want to. He wills to. That means that any breakdown is not on his part because he wills to do it. He wills to do it. But the thing with God is that he doesn't deal with the surface. God doesn't deal with symptoms. He deals with the cause. And see, there are two types of healing today. There's medicine and then there's herbs. Now, the difference is medicines get it to you right away. Herbs take a little time because it has to get into the system. God is like a herb. When he approaches you, he has to get into why you're the way you are. Now watch. When he touches the why, the condition will die by itself. Maybe you're sitting in here tonight and you're holding a grudge against someone. Somebody wronged you. And their actions were what was wrong. All of their actions were wrong. They're wrong, but you're holding on to the bitterness. Now, the bitterness and the stress clinically causes your blood vessels to shrink. That means the blood can't pass through easily, which means your heart has to work harder, which causes hypertension. So, to come down and tell the preacher to pray for your hypertension, but not address your unforgiveness, is wrong. God will not heal your hypertension until you forgive the person that gave it to you to begin with. Now, I'm willing to heal you, but are you willing to get to the cause? With whom are you angry? Whose face comes before you that generates hostility? If they walk in the church in the middle of you worshiping God, who can cut off your praise? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Messed up my praise. He touches the man and says, I do want to do this. Why? That's what I came to do. He says, be thou clean. And immediately he was cleansed. And Jesus says, now go show yourselves to the priest. I love this. After Jesus heals you, you can go back to the doctor. And the same doctor who put you on the meds ought to look at you and say, you don't need them anymore. Don't you dare take yourself off your meds. Go back to the doctor. If you know God has healed you, go back with boldness and say, run that test again, Jack. Run that test again. When they come back and say, ooh, what happened? Then you can give God the glory and say, the Lord touched me. Now give me a refund. Because you didn't heal me. I paid you under false pretenses. So Jesus says, go and tell the priest. I love this. He said, don't talk to people. See that thou tell no man. Why? Because folks don't believe you're getting healed tonight. Because here's what folks will do. Does your arm still hurt? And then you reach up and say, yeah. You say, I thought you got healed. Well, the devil is a lie. Now you went from faith and belief to feeling. I never said your arm wouldn't hurt no more. I said you're going to get healed. I did not say the devil wouldn't keep trying you, but you've got to see, all I can do is provide the faith by the preaching of the word to get you the healing, but you've got to claim your healing, and you've got to stake out your healing, and you've got to tell the devil, the pain doesn't matter. God has healed me. Now that's the first scripture. Is God willing for you to be healed tonight? Is he willing? Of all of you that raised your hand and those of you that didn't raise your hand, do you believe that God is willing that you be healed tonight? If I were to say to you, if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, and I said to you, how many of you believe God wants to save you? All the hands would go up. Why? Because you really believe he wants to save you. Well, how many of you believe that he wants to heal you? Those of you that are sick, you believe he wants to heal you? Do you really believe it, or are you still fumbling around with it in your mind? I'm uncertain. I'm not sure. Now, if you are certain, Mark 9:16-24, and he comes down and he says to the scribes, why are you questioning my disciples? And one of the multitude said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he takes him, he tears him, he foams, he gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away. I spoke to your disciples that they should cast this thing out, and they couldn't do it. And Jesus said, O faithless generation, how long shall I put up with you? How long shall I endure you? He said, bring him to me. And they brought the boy to Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, the spirit tear him. And he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming. And Jesus asks the father, how long has it been since this came on him? And the father said, since he was a child. And oft times it cast him in the water and it cast him into the fire. And the goal is to destroy him. But if you can do anything, Have compassion on us and help us. Now, this verse solidifies the fact that some of your sickness is demonically inspired. Now, we cannot address sickness without addressing the devil. He's a liar, but he sure does make you feel like he's telling the truth. Now, the fact that the Bible says that there was a spirit in this boy opens the door for us to understand that satanic infestation comes in different ways. If he's able, he can harass children. Now, there needs to be a lot of things working to get a child demon-possessed. But this boy was so affected by satanic spirits that it caused his body to undergo convulsions. We saw this a few times when Jesus rebuked a deaf spirit. That would mean that a satanic angel, which we call demons, literally pinch the auditory nerves so that you can't hear. Or as Jesus talked about a dumb spirit, demonic forces clench the voice box so you can't talk. This is not every case, but in some cases, Jesus, he exorcised the devil so the person could have normal functions. Now, these cases are few and far between, but they are relevant, they are real. But for most of us, Satan's entrance into our body is by invitation. He doesn't have to fight. First of all, our diets are horrendous. We eat what's unclean and justify it by saying, well, Paul said, if we sanctify it by grace. God specifically said not to eat shellfish. Specifically said no shrimp, no lobster, no crab. Specifically said it. But we just tell him, I'm eating it anyway. I don't care what you say. I'm going to say grace over it, and I'm going to eat it anyway, and there's nothing you're going to say about it because I'm God of my body. So I guess you're mad now. You say, why does it taste so good? Most things that are bad for you generally tastes good. Satan knows he couldn't get you to eat it if it tasted like the garbage that is sucked up at the bottom of the ocean. God needs to clean the ocean, right? But he doesn't have a Hoover. So what he did was make shellfish. And he said, you clean up all the waste. That's why he said, don't eat it. He said, you clean up all the fish dung and everything else that should not be eaten by clean fish. He had no intention for humans to eat it. It was not made for food. It was made to clean the ocean. That means when you eat it, you are eating. So when medical science tells you that it's bringing about sickness, God couldn't tell you. But when the doctor tells you, then you believe it. Doctor says, I have to give up shrimp and lobster because my cholesterol is going up. Doctor said, I have to give this up. But God told you back in Leviticus. Let me see something. Let me see something. The devil is a liar. God said, don't eat shellfish. Oh, I just want to make sure you were out there. Because, I mean, it got real quiet. It was really quiet. They were like, oh, just get to the prayer, man. Don't mess with my food. So we give Satan doorways, no rest, poor diet, increased stress, which violates the teaching of cast your cares upon him. All of these things are doorways for the devil to come in and flood us with sickness. Hear me. For a child of God, sickness has to either be invited or let in through ignorance. And that's why God puts men and women in the body called teachers and preachers and evangelists to help you to understand that I am harming my temple. Therefore, what I am going through is the result of harming my temple. It's like the man who was diagnosed with diabetes and his numbers were so bad, he had to go on and get the injection, right? You will find him in the dessert line at the family reunion, eating cakes and pies and jabbing himself with the insulin because he has duped himself into believing that if I give myself the insulin, I don't have to change my lifestyle. So many times we come down for prayer and we want the servant of God or the ministers of the gospel to pray for us and we hope that God will heal us past our indisciplined life. Because we have no impulse control. Solomon said, when you sit at a table and you're invited to a table with people who are feeding you, he said, put a knife to your throat. Here's what it means. Learn to say no when you've had enough. That's literally what he's saying. Stop trying to force yourself. Just one more piece. Just one more piece. Lord, this stuff tastes so good. Just one more piece. So he uses a very dramatic example. He said, put a knife to your throat. Tell yourself it's time to stop. Now go with me because I know you're waiting for the Pentecostal move, you see. But I'm telling you, you're going to get healed. Now watch. So here, the man says to Jesus, if you can help me. But look what Jesus says in verse 23. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you can believe. The enemy has been successful in our theological understanding to carefully and with great skill and deception, he has interwoven faith and belief. Jesus doesn't say if you have faith, all things are possible. Never does it say. If you have faith, all things are possible. Even when you get back to Hebrews 11, and he admonishes us to have faith, and then uses people to typify said faith. Jesus says, if you can believe, faith is spiritual. Belief is mental. You've got to tell yourself, I'm getting it. You men, you can work with this a little better. You ever go after a woman and she doesn't want you, but you tell somebody, I'm going to get her. She's going to be mine. I love me some her. And what do? You start trying to find out what she likes. You start trying to find out more information about. You even talk to her friends. Why? Because it's all part of your belief plan. And when you believe something, you do what's necessary to get it. Do you believe God's going to heal you? That is one thing that you lack. See, you have faith because faith comes by hearing. And it was faith that brought you here tonight. But it's belief that's going to get you your healing. But I'm going to show you. I'm just so excited about this. When God showed it to me last week, I was, you know, almost dancing in my chair. I was doing a chair dance. So he says, listen, if you can believe, but how do you believe? Tell me something that you believe. It wasn't rhetorical. It's Sunday night. Tell me something you believe. You believe you get paid on Friday. Oh, good example. Deacon Irvin says, I believe I get paid Friday. Right? That's what you said. Okay. Is that what makes you work Monday through Thursday? You're darn right. If they told him we ain't paying you this Friday, they won't see him Monday through Thursday. Why? His belief system will have been compromised. What do you believe? What do you believe? He believes God is alive and well, probably justified by the fact that the world is still going along in an orderly fashion, even though everything on the world is a mess. The world is still rotating around the sun. It don't care who's president. Why? It was set in line by God. Around the middle of September, we're going to start settling into fall. It doesn't care who's president. It's going to happen. Why? It was set in motion by God. As I live, saith the Lord, there will always be four seasons.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Healing and Deliverance, or the program number 07119E. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Making of a Minister with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon continues Saturday, September 21st at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. The pastors will continue to explore how to craft your sermon, biblical exegesis, and professionalism in ministry. These informative sessions will equip you to walk in your call to ministry and handle the Word of God with care. If you've been chosen for ministry or desire to work in ministry, you will want to be a part of this next session. It's The Making of a Minister with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon on Saturday, September 21st, 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Register now by calling 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit BethelDeliverance.org.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.